Welcome. Thank you. So, well, thank you. Well, welcome. Silvia is a visitor here for this month, apparently. A few words about her. She started the studies in astronomy in Rome, concluding with a published paper, right?
A bit after
A bit after, but on the same
the
topic on AGN with 58 citations. I count as a master student. Then, well, she did the PhD at Liverpool, changing topic, working on global clusters. And she awarded the prize for the best thesis at Liverpool. Then she moved to Nijmegen, Netherlands, for a year and a half, roughly, right? And now she is since a couple of years in
No, since a few months.
few months.
Yes, a few months. Since last year.
In Heidelberg as a Gliese fellow. Gliese is fine.
Yeah.
Great. Still working on a global cluster.
Yes, maybe.
And looking for collaboration.
Yes,
Yeah.
so can I start?
Please.
Yes, so thanks, Carlo, for the introduction, and I hope you can hear me well. Yes, and thanks for inviting me here as well to give a coffee club. So before going into the talk, yes, okay, I will just quickly go. No, I will not go. Okay, let's get this to a quick intro. So I will be, as Carlo said, in Milan for the next 3 weeks. And at the moment, yes, I'm working with Alessandro Boselli on a project on characterizing the UV upturn of some massive elliptical galaxies in Virgo. And here I reported, yes, the office where I'm in is Benoit Epinal's office. This is the number S293. Yes, if you want to come by and chat with me, feel free to pass by. I'm always open to collaboration, as Carlo just said. And here, okay, just reported a few research interests. Of course, I'm interested in stellar populations and globular clusters, as we will see in the talk. I'm also starting to be interested in galaxies, galaxy evolution. And I previously worked in AGN, with AGN, as Carlo mentioned. And I'm also a bit interested in nuclear star clusters. Okay, let's go to the science now. And before, I want just to make a quick introduction about globular cluster. I'm sure you all know, but it's good to remind that globular clusters are very dense agglomerates of stars that are gravitationally bound. And you can see here a very nice image of 47 Tucanae, a globular cluster in our own galaxy. And as I said, these are very dense objects. So these are among the densest objects in the universe. You see the scale here. You have masses of 10 to the 4, 10 to the 6 solar masses enclosed in a few parsecs. And another interesting thing, I mean, it's subjective about globular cluster is that are also among the oldest objects in the universe. So their ages are estimated to be greater than 10 giga year up to the age of the universe, so 13.5 giga year. And I think this is interesting because they can be considered some of the witnesses of the universe early formation. And another interesting thing is to understand where they are. So are these is isolated? Where are they now? And to reply to this question, here is just a very nice image of the Andromeda Galaxy, just an example. You see this, maybe I use the pointer here, some of these dots. White dots are actually most of them are globular clusters. And I can show you with a very cool picture that I found online from these are from amateurs astrophotographers that indicated all the globular clusters, identified globular clusters in this galaxy. And you see a lot of globular clusters around the majorly around the halo of galaxies. So globular clusters are found in any galaxy, if this is massive enough. And the interesting thing is also there are correlations. So there is a correlation between the mass of the galaxy and the number of globular clusters. The higher the mass of the galaxy, usually the higher the number of globular clusters in the halo. And this is really interesting because since globular clusters are very luminous, much more luminous than like stars at farther distances, we can use them as tracers for galaxy assembly and evolution. So this has been done for the past years. What we can do is we can study the properties of the globular cluster population. So here I just show, the histogram of globular cluster population in M87. And you can see there is a blue population and a red population. And researchers have been studying the properties of the populations of globular cluster as a function of galaxy properties. Probably you cannot see here, but on the bottom, there is galaxy velocity dispersion as a function of the colors of globular clusters. So people have been studying the coevolution of the globular cluster population and galaxy assembly. And this is important because if you want to use the power of globular cluster, we need to understand how they form. And the key message here, let's say, is that the formation of globular clusters has a profound impact on how we understand galaxy assembly and evolution. But so how do globular clusters form? And this is still an open question in astronomy. It's one of, let's say, the main driver of my science. So of course, from my point of view, I've gone to study the stellar populations of globular clusters, so not yet globular cluster population. It is important, yes, exactly, to understand how they form if we want to use them as for this reason. So let me go now to to show you how what are the main, let's say, problems in globular cluster formation from my point of view, from my science. So there are many. and to do this, I will report two traditional views of a globular cluster that were completely revolutionized in the past years. And the first one is that what we talk about globular cluster is that all the stars within a cluster would have the same age and chemical composition. And the second one is that globular clusters could only form in the early universe, so at high redshift. I will just focus on the first one now, and then we will see the second. So globular clusters has always been thought as simple stellar population, meaning that their formation was envisioned as the collapse of a giant molecular cloud that is homogeneous in chemistry, and all the stars formed have the same chemistry, the same age. And here you see the color mapping diagram of a globular cluster in the Milky Way. You have a single sequence, the so-called isochron. Of course, here are all indicated all the evolutionary stages, main sequence, subgene, branch. I will not go into details, but with the advent of more precise instruments with precision photometry, in this case, people have looked at actually what happens in this sequence. So you see here, this is a zoom in on the main sequence. This starts not to be a single sequence anymore. We have at least three different sequences, and these are stars in the cluster. There are no foreground stars in this plot. So people started to understand that globular clusters are more complex than originally thought. And this is true for any old globular cluster. So these are just other three there are six, but color magnet diagram of three other clusters in the Milky Way. And you see in all of them, all the evolutionary stages are composed of multiple sequences, here a little bit less. And this is from the UV-HST legacy survey of galactic globular clusters. They imaged more than 60 clusters in the Milky Way. The Milky Way has around 150 globular clusters. and they characterize their stellar population and see that each cluster had this what we call multiple population. And I will just jump now to the other slide. And so globular cluster hosts these multiple populations, but what are they? They are star-to-star chemical variations. We will now see quickly what this means. And here I report another colonnaded diagram. This is flipped, so don't worry about the details. It's just, let's focus on these stars in colors. These are red giant branch stars within the cluster. And you can identify three groups. And if you take spectra of these stars, you can go and measure their chemical content, and you will see that this is the situation. So you have, for example, sodium versus nitrogen or sodium versus oxygen. We will see later other elements. It's not really important. And what is important is that you have the black, for example, the black group of stars within the cluster that have a chemical composition that is comparable to the stars in the field. So the stars in the galaxy, while you also have within the same cluster other one or more populations, depending on the cluster, that have different chemical content. So for example, you have high sodium, high content of sodium and high nitrogen, but you also have high sodium and low oxygen. And these are called anomalous population because they have a different chemistry. And you see, this is also not random in the sense that sodium and nitrogen are correlated, sodium and oxygen are anti-correlated. So, yes, the main elements that vary, here I just reported a few elements. You have that in the anomalous population, the helium is higher than respect to the normal population. And then you have nitrogen, sodium, aluminum that are higher, and carbon, oxygen, magnesium that are lower. Why is this important? Because you can already see that nitrogen is higher and carbon is lower. These are resembles the CNO cycle of main sequence stars. When they burn hydrogen into helium, you will have more nitrogen at the end and less carbon. We will see later why this can be interesting. Now just put a summary. So multiple populations are not present in the field stars. This is typical to globular clusters, so to star cluster objects. And second, as I just said, they resemble these hot hydrogen burning processes. So the CNO cycle in particular, just the example that I put here. And this only happens in massive stars. I put in quotes if there is someone working on massive stars. And by massive, in my case, it's more than 1.3 solar masses. Why is it important? Because if we look at a globular cluster that has an age of 10 giga year or more, this is again the color mapping diagram, you see that the anomalous population, so the multiple sequences, are present from the main sequence up to the red giant branch. And in the main sequence, we have a stellar masses of 0.4 solar masses, which is much lower than this. On the red giant branch, we have 0.8 solar masses, still much lower. So these stars cannot themselves create the extra nitrogen or the lower carbon by themselves. But this means that this mixing has to come from an external contributor. The origin of multiple populations has to come from the outside. There were many models proposed for the origin of these anomalous populations. I prepared some slides, but maybe we can talk about it at the end of the talk if there is some time, because I think otherwise it's too long. But just to tell you that we don't know how these multiple populations form. And so the first important question that I report here is that we do not have a self-consistent explanation on how multiple populations form. And this was the first main driver of my science. There is a second one, and yes, okay. So if we go back to our traditional views about globular clusters, we now understand that globular clusters are more complex than simple stellar population. They host chemical variations and chemical patterns that are not so easy to understand. And the second view is that globular clusters can only form in the early universe. But now I'm going to show you some images on some objects. These are in the Milky Way. Beautiful images of some clusters of stars. I don't call them globular clusters. And if you see...
Why?
Because I will tell you later. It's because we don't know if they are the same. And so, you just look at their ages. So they have a good question because they have the same masses of old globular cluster. They have the same densities, but they are much younger. So they are 2 million years old, these ones. These are in the Milky Way. But also if we go to local starburst galaxies, for example, the Antennae galaxies, this is a beautiful image from HST, WELPP2. People in the 90s found these, some of these compact blue objects in the Antennae galaxies and realized that these are compact sources, compact star clusters with ages of million years, of hundreds of million years, but masses that are huge, like globular cluster masses. And the same happens in other galaxies, like this is another example, M83. And three other young star clusters that are less than 4 million years old. So there are these young star clusters that are present in any, more or less, any local galaxy that are forming now. And the natural question to ask, that's why you ask why, is are these objects the precursor or the old globular clusters? Do they relate to them? Because if we know that these stellar clusters are the same of the old globular clusters, we observe them now in formation, and we can put important constraints for globular cluster formation. We can observe their properties now while they're forming. And this is the second motivation for my science, that I can finally tell you what I've been doing. So I went to look at the stellar populations of this young star cluster to see if they resemble the stellar populations of the old ones. And in order also to put constraints for models for the origin of multiple populations. And so to this question, there is a big question mark. We still don't know if the young star cluster we observe today are the same as globular cluster. And this we'll see in the next slides how it might change. Okay, so I just report my work of the previous year based on some surveys of 15 more or less star clusters in the Magellanic Clouds, because the Magellanic Clouds host quite a good number of star clusters, massive as the old globular cluster, but much younger. So these clusters, these are just a few images from our surveys. These clusters have the same properties of the old globular clusters, so same masses, same densities, but they are much younger and they span a very wide range of ages. So we go from 300 million years up to 10 giga-year. And I will report directly the results. So first, in a general way, so this is the age. So we have here age of the cluster and mass of the cluster. And each point here is a globular cluster. And in blue, all the clusters that show these anomalous populations. These are all the old globular clusters that I showed you before. They all show this anomalous population. As I told you, it is an ubiquitous phenomenon. And this was before our surveys. And then thanks to our surveys, we were able to populate part of the diagram. So, okay, I just didn't choose to, just to give you some info on the instruments used. And yes, you see already the first result we found. is that all the clusters down to an age of 1.7 giga year, they show this anomalous population. So these anomalous population are also present in the youngster clusters. And this means several things. So first thing, I guess this is the bar, the limit. So some the first thing is that we observe the same population. So this is a first hint that this class of objects have formed in the same way. And the second, is that for the origin of this anomalous population, the models have to take into account that they also form at lower redshift. So this is a redshift of formation of 0.15 for multiple populations. And so the first takeaway message from our surveys is that the origin of this anomalous population is not cosmological. It happens until more or less the present day. And then also we observe that the clusters that are a bit younger, they do not show this anomalous population, although we might have an idea why this is not happening, and I will tell you in a few slides. Okay, then the second part of the results is the correlations with age of the cluster. And what we find is that the fraction of the anomalous stars is seem to be lower in the younger clusters.
Sorry, what do you mean by anomalous?
The fine chemistry starts. So here you see age of the cluster as a function of the fraction of anomalous stars. And for the old cluster, the black ones, there are some, of course, that have small fractions. So there is an average around 0.5, 0.6. While for the younger cluster is the Magellan clouds here, LMC, SMC in blue and green, it's lower. Of course, there is not the correlation is not significant, and we need more data. But you can really see that in the younger cluster, the fraction is lower. Then we also looked at the chemistry, and what we found is that the older clusters show larger spreads in chemistry, abundant spreads. And first, we looked at nitrogen. And this is, it's a plot of cluster age again versus nitrogen spread, even if this is a proxy. By nitrogen spread, I mean the difference between the anomalous population and the first normal population in a cluster. So there is a difference in nitrogen. And these clusters that are older have higher nitrogen spread with respect to the ones that are younger. Here again, we need more data, of course. but we also thought that the reason why we do not observe anomalous population in the young cluster is that here we are going to observe lower and lower chemical spreads. So what if the chemical spread in the younger cluster is too low to be detected? And the idea is to go and look at deeper observation. So this is what we are trying to do in the future to see if really there are no multiple populations in these younger clusters, or is it just a problem with the observations that are not sensitive enough, deep enough. And then finally, we looked also at sodium. So I told you at the beginning, we have different elements that vary. So it would be ideal to look at all the elements also in the younger star clusters. That's what we are trying to do. And for sodium, we use NEWS. This is just a nice picture, because for sodium, we don't have enough data that I can show you a plot, but we only have three clusters. So the correlation, of course, doesn't exist. But what we observe is that so you have the three clusters for which we can calculate the sodium spread, and this is their age. So the age is going up with the arrow pointing down, and the sodium is also going up. Of course, not like significant, but we will try to expand the sample as much as we can.
How?
Huh?
How?
With NEWS.
Okay.
But you know, it's a bit hard. I've tried several times, but proposals weren't successful. Then we are to the summary. So summary, we have seen that globular clusters are not superstellar populations, and their formation is still unknown, at least on the side of stellar population that I showed today. There is a lot to discover yet. And this can impact many scientific areas from a small scale. We didn't talk at all about the small scale from star formation up to the large scales of galaxy evolution. And then I reported some information of the young star clusters and our results show a hint that these objects are very similar. They show the same stellar population, although at the same time we see differences. We see that these populations are smaller in chemical spread. We see that the fraction of them are smaller as well. So are they different and why? How? We didn't still explore enough. And with this, I just left an image of some instrument that might help us in the future. And hope that they will reveal much more. And then I finally thank you for listening and open to any questions.
Thank you.
Any questions here?
So basic questions, but so you said like the anomaly in chemistry is related to the secondary nucleosynthesis. Like,
yes.
Like, I didn't get about the sodium. Like, what's the relation between sodium and the
sodium? Yes. So no, this was only related to carbon and nitrogen. There is also another chain that happens in even more massive stars. That is the magnesium aluminum chain as well. Yes, I only reported what are the elements that vary, but based on the CNO cycle, it's only carbon and nitrogen. And then, yes, this correlation, you can also think that it's due to this other magnesium aluminum chain, but it happens for AGB stars. Yes. I don't know if I replied to your question. This was only the CNO cycle was only related to this correlation.
I just wonder if there's no like theoretical explanation for this anomaly yet.
No, but if you want, I can go through the slide, or I can say very quickly the main the most popular model. So you have multiple generation. So basically, you have a first population that forms. And the most massive stars evolve faster, and the winds from the most massive stars get collected into the center, and this generates a second burst of star formation that takes all the anomalies from the winds. So basically, basically the AGB star should be able to recover carbon-nitrogen anticorrelation. So this, but they cannot recover sodium and oxygen. So the AGB stars, for example, they form more sodium and more oxygen. This is one of the problem, for example. But this is the basic idea. And then, yes, all the problems, all the models have some problems that they don't work. They are not able to reproduce all the observations that we have. It's a bit tricky.
Okay, thank you.
When you go to one of these color magnitude diagram where you see different patterns, can you maybe there was something before, but even here,
Piotr,
this one, can you explain this with just different of the ages of the stellar population? And if yes, what is the delay in the different burst?
So there were studies. The difference in ages was put for the older clusters to 200 million year, more or less, in upper limit. It's a bit hard to get precise numbers because of the isogram. And I also looked at this in younger star clusters. In the young star cluster, the upper limit on the age difference is something like 30, 40 million year. So from the isogrons, you can, and you get these numbers that yes, are quite high. 200 million a year, you don't put many constraints on scenarios, because all the scenarios proposed envision, yes, difference in ages up to 200 million a year. I can show actually one. Have some backup slides.
Some.
But from previous, it's from previous books. Yes, so these are the polluters, they call it. So you have these massive stars that eject winds, and there are different polluters proposed. It's the AGB that predict a difference in age between 30 and 200 million here. Then there are massive binaries that while they interact, they eject. Winds is less than 10, fast rotating massive stars, and then also very or super. This seems the most, let's say, the model that reproduces most of the observation is this one. Envision a super massive star at the center of the cluster, like more than 5,000, I think 10 to the 4 solar masses, and then it can create this. Anti-correlation, but they are not observed. so this is the main problem. What can I say? Also, from the studies of young massive clusters in the local galaxy, in the local starburst galaxies that I've shown here, the people looked at the gas, the residual gas in the cluster, and they found no gas in the cluster. Around 4 million years, I think. So this is another hint that they form very fast, this multiple population. So this is the main idea. They form very fast at the beginning of the cluster formation.
They form very fast, and the anomalous chemical compositions come from the residual gas.
Yes, from based on these models, yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. The gas goes in the center,
okay,
and then creates a second generation. But there are many problems. For example, another problem I can show you. if I've shown you the fraction of anomalous stars, no? Where is it?
Yeah.
Here. So you see that the anomalous star is like 70% of the total. So this is fraction of anomalous star over the total. So if the second generation forms from the first generation, but it's more numerous, how do you get the gas from? Like you need more gas.
Yeah.
And this is one of the, and this is also one of the problem, and some models envision that the gas is coming from outside and re-accreted from the vicinity of the cluster, which still to be proved, but it's a bit, we call it fine-tuning the model, because then we'll need to have that the gas outside has exactly the same composition that it had before.
The second generation means that the first generation died,
And then no, it's still there,
okay.
Because it's the two
adjoining each other,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah, exactly. This second, or,
okay,
yeah, depends on the features. They're still all there,
okay, because otherwise, this would have made sense if they were dead. Any other questions here or on Zoom? You can talk if you're on Zoom and you want to ask a question. No?
Okay.
Thank you again.
Thank you again.
I don't remember the seminar for next week, if any.
Oh.
At all. No. We'll see. We'll see.
Okay, thank you.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
It's not a question. Hold on. It's just something.
Yeah.